Hello, everyone. I'm Barry, lead pastor of Symphony Church, and I'm thankful to be worshiping with you today. I'd like to welcome anyone who's visiting with us or returning to visit with us. Thanks so much for being here. I'm guessing many of you are feeling a little more tired than usual because our clock sprang forward due to daylight savings, and you may have gotten less sleep than usual. So well done if you made our service on time. So let's get up, stretch ourselves, shake off any cobwebs, and say hello to those around us. This would be a good time to come into our Zoom room and say hello to others who are worshiping with us. And I'll see you in a minute. Welcome back. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10, 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for this passage. Help us, God, to hear it today. May your spirit illuminate these words and take us on a journey of discipleship, a journey of following Jesus. We pray for your grace so that we would be willing to take the narrow path, the path of obedience. May we be encouraged and lifted up by your voice, by your words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to be tackling this passage a little differently than I normally do. Often I give three or four primary points, but I'm not going to do that today. Instead, we're just going to immerse ourselves in this story, and I'll share some thoughts as we read verse by verse. For the many of you who do take notes, I suggest that you write the verse reference first, and then take notes as we go along, okay? So last week, we saw Jesus begin his journey in the Gospel of Mark towards Jerusalem. And Jesus knows what's waiting for him in Jerusalem. He's going to be persecuted. He's going to die. And now, he's at Jericho. This is the last leg of his journey to Jerusalem. Jericho is 15 miles from Jerusalem and also 840 feet below sea level. Jerusalem is 3,500 feet higher than Jericho. I want you to understand, physically as well as emotionally and mentally, it's all uphill from here for Jesus and his disciples. With each step, Jesus is fighting against literal gravity as well as the heaviness of the sin that will be laid upon him. Now, we're in the season of Lent. And through our sermon series and in our church activities, we also want to journey to the cross, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. We're walking toward the cross and the resurrection. And so very deliberately, we've structured our activities so that in some ways it's going to feel like we're going uphill. We're going to be fighting gravity. We're going to be fighting inertia. We started Lent with daily Bible memorization. And last week, I encouraged you to pray about adding a fast to that. And as I mentioned, the staff will be doing a Daniel fast starting tomorrow. In other words, no meat, soup, salads, simple foods. Why are we doing this? Well, Jesus said that following him would involve dying to ourselves. And part of Lent involves sacrificing some of the good things in our life temporarily so that we can focus and feast upon that which is better. So we fast to fix our hunger upon Jesus. But fasting is also, as John Piper puts it, an intensification of prayer. When we fast, we are, in a sense, praying with our bodies as well as our lips and minds. And there's so much to pray for. Amen. And so we're going to keep on adding. In 2 weeks' time, with Palm Sunday, March 28th, we're going to be entering into Passion Week, Jesus' last week before the cross. And starting Palm Sunday, for 6 nights, we're going to add a short Zoom prayer service that will start at 7:30 p.m. each night. In general, they'll be short, about 30 minutes, with the notable exception of Good Friday. And I'm excited to announce that this year, for our Good Friday service, we've invited Journey Community Church in Raleigh-Durham, a sister church in AMI, to join us for a joint service. Lastly, as Denisha announced, we will also have an opportunity to pray with our brothers and sisters from AMI churches around the world during AMI's 72 hours of prayer, which will start Tuesday morning of Passion Week. Now, I'm not asking you to pray for 72 hours straight. The AMI community together will be praying for 72 hours. What I do ask for those of you who are members of Symphony is that you do try to join us for an hour each of those 3 days. We have a lot happening on Passion Week, and don't feel like you have to be involved in everything, but I do encourage you, join what you can. Let's ramp up our devotion to Jesus. Let's ramp up our prayers. The prayers of the righteous are effective and powerful. It's going to feel like we're going uphill, but that's what it means to follow Jesus. We're going on a journey with Jesus to the cross. Discipleship is a journey. A disciple of Jesus is somebody who follows Jesus. We're not just believers. We're not just learners sitting at the feet of our rabbi. We're followers. We're on a journey. And in today's passage, we meet someone who exemplifies this journey. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Okay, Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. Mark hopefully provides that translation. That prefix bar is the Aramaic word meaning son of. And you may remember some other sons of in the Bible. For example, Barnabas, son of encouragement. Bar Abbas, son of Abbas, translated further, son of the father. The apostle Peter, or Simon Peter in Matthew 16:17, is referred to by Jesus as Simon Bar Jonah, as in Simon, son of Jonah, okay? We find Bartimaeus sitting in the roads by the roadside, and presumably that was his normal spot. That's where he would ask for charity from those who were passing by on the road. Bartimaeus was blind. We know that he wasn't always blind. Later, he's going to ask Jesus to recover his sight, which means that he had sight at one point. But maybe since he's lost his sight, he's been sitting by the side of the road, stuck in one spot. And perhaps you feel stuck also. You can't see where to go. You don't know what your next steps are. Without sight, Bartimaeus is completely reliant on the charity, the grace of those around him. He's poor. He's in need. But good news is coming for Bartimaeus, as well as for those of us who feel stuck, blind, poor, and very needy. You see, Jesus is going to pass by Bartimaeus on his way to Jerusalem. Now, Bartimaeus probably hears the murmurings and the cheers of the crowd. He hears the footsteps of a large crowd going by. He hears the name Jesus, not just any Jesus, which is a common Jewish name, but Jesus the Nazarenos, Jesus the Nazarene. And by the way, Samson, one of the most anointed men in Israel, was known as Samson the Nazareos, Theo, the anointed one of God. And here comes Jesus the Nazarenos, very similar sounding words. And perhaps that's what Bartimaeus hears in his mind. Here comes the anointed one. He's the Jesus that he's heard about. Even down in Jericho, he's heard about Jesus the Nazarene, the one who's been healing and casting out demons in the north. In Galilee, which was far too far for a poor blind beggar to go, perhaps in his daydreams, he thought about Jesus walking by Jericho to go to Jerusalem, and perhaps, just perhaps, he too might be healed. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Of course, this is his chance, right? This is his opportunity. Who knows when Jesus will pass this way again? Actually, the answer to that, we know, was never, at least not in physical person. So Bartimaeus seizes the moment. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, Son of David, Bar David, okay? Son of David was a messianic title. The Jewish people believed that from the root of Jesse, from King David, would come the Messiah, right? The anointed one. In Greek, the Christos. And what's interesting is that this is the first time anyone in the book of Mark has actually used this phrase, not even Jesus' disciples. Blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sees more clearly than those who have been following Jesus. Sometimes it takes affliction to see more clearly. Sometimes it's the desperate who are able to see Jesus. Sometimes it's the ones who know they cannot see who actually see more clearly than the ones who think they can. Verse 48, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Bartimaeus is moving towards Jesus metaphorically, spiritually. And I want you to know that when you take steps toward Jesus, there will be voices that seek to dissuade you. It may be the voices of actual people. There are plenty of voices of discouragement regarding faith in Jesus in our culture today. Those voices may also be in your family. They may be in your workplaces or in your classrooms. They may also be inner voices. Why are you praying? God doesn't care about you. You're not important enough. You're far too sinful. Poor blind Bartimaeus could easily have been shaken by the crowd, right? These are the people that he relies on for his daily bread, right? If he ticks them off, maybe no one gives him anything ever again. Bartimaeus has no power. He has no right to ask Jesus for anything. He could have suppressed himself and become quiet right there and then. But we see he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus cried out louder. Please don't draw the wrong lesson here. This isn't about volume per se. This is about not being deterred by the voices of opposition. This is about speaking louder than the voices that will try to hold you down. Opposition fans the flame of Bartimaeus' persistence. The kingdom of heaven is not for the well-meaning, but for the desperate. Bartimaeus is desperate, and his desperation is a doorway to faith. The kingdom of God is for the desperate. There's a reason Jesus said that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Mark 10:25. Those who perceive themselves as rich don't cry out to God. Those who know they are poor have no one else to turn to. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is his only hope. And disciples of Jesus know also that he's our only hope. That's true when we were poor and blind. It remains true when we're rich and have sight. In Revelation 3:17, Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, "For you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." Let's not overestimate our spiritual condition. Jesus is always our only hope. Disciples of Jesus will therefore always cry out to Jesus and will cry out to Jesus all the more when people try to silence them. The amazing thing is that Jesus actually stops when he hears our cries. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, a man on a mission. He has a particular mission to do in Jerusalem. He stops in his tracks at the sound of a poor and powerless person. He stops and he calls to Bartimaeus. He also called to us. Verse 49, and Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart. Get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, Bartimaeus may not be able to see, but he can hear Jesus just fine, right? He throws off his cloak. And by the way, that cloak was likely the only worldly possession that Bartimaeus had. He literally leaves everything he possesses to come to Jesus. And he springs up and runs to Jesus' voice. And then Jesus says the same words he did to James and John a few verses earlier. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? This is a remarkable question if you think about it, right? Jesus already knew what Bartimaeus wanted. I mean, he could see that he was blind, and Jesus could have just healed him and gone on his way. After all, he had to get to Jerusalem. But Bartimaeus is not a problem to be solved. He's a person to be loved. And so Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? He asks what Bartimaeus wants. Now, James and John, when they asked that same question, they wanted glory. Bartimaeus, in contrast, just wants to be normal again. He doesn't want power, riches, or success. He just wants to recover his sight. This is what he says. The blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. He doesn't ask to be superhuman. He just wants to be human, right? Many of us think that health is the bare minimum, but for Bartimaeus, to be able to see again would be God's greatest gift. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you, Bartimaeus. That verb, healed, actually also means saved. In the Greek, sozo, your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. What is faith? Well, faith is simply trust in Jesus. Bartimaeus wasn't healed because he believed that he would be healed. He was healed because he believed Jesus could heal him. Do you hear the difference? He wasn't healed because he believed he would be healed. He was healed because he believed Jesus could heal him. It was the object of his faith, not his subjective faith, that healed him. Jesus heals. Jesus saves. You know, many years ago, I was in Vietnam on a mission trip, and we were invited to go into a countryside to share and encourage believers at a rural church. And after the message, an old married couple came up to me. The wife explained that her husband hadn't spoken in 30 years. He was mute. And my interpreter told me, she says, you pray and heal him. And I told him that, you know, I didn't have the power to heal, but Jesus did. And so I would pray along those lines. And so we started praying. Now, I was freaked out, to be a little honest. I had seen people healed before, but that was always in a group setting. And in those situations, you figure surely someone here has enough faith. But now I felt really alone. Did I have enough faith? Now, I wasn't really alone because the pastor who was interpreting for me was also there, and the wife was praying also, presumably the husband. But I prayed, God, you are the God who heals. And I know that you can heal this man. And so I just asked that in your mercy and grace, you would heal him. It was a really short prayer. And in my mind, I was already trying to explain why God doesn't always heal. And as I was collecting, you know, my thoughts, the wife turned to her husband and said, can you say something? And he was silent. She urged him again, can you say Gamanchua, which means thank you, God. And then he opened his mouth and he whispered, Gamanchua. And then he said it again more loudly, Gamanchua. and the pastor next to me yells, "He's healed!" And I looked at him shocked and suspicious, thinking, did you set this up to make this foreign pastor feel good? Right? He could talk all along, right? And then I looked at the wife and I saw tears streaming down her face at the first sound her husband had made in 30 years. Now, I didn't have a lot of faith that day that there would be a healing, but I did have faith that Jesus could heal. And that was all that was needed. It's the object of our faith, not the subjective strength of our faith, that matters. Who are you putting your trust in? What are you putting your trust in? Bartimaeus believed that the Messiah, the anointed one of God, was right in front of him, the one who could heal, the one who could save, and immediately he recovered his sight. Immediately, by the way, is one of Mark's favorite words. Immediately, right away, right there and then, Bartimaeus is healed. But that's not the end of the story. There are six more words in this passage, and perhaps these are the six most significant words in this passage. And Bartimaeus followed him on the way. Bartimaeus regains his sight and becomes a follower of Jesus. Jesus had told him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Bartimaeus decides that his way is Jesus's way. Immediately, right away, right there and then, he decides to follow him on the way. You know, before Christians became known as Christians, they were known as something else. They referred to themselves as something else. Do you know what that was? They said they followed the way. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," John 14:6. Bartimaeus could have gone his own way, but he decides to follow Jesus on the way, as the way. He becomes a disciple of the Rabbi Jesus. He's going to be covered with the dust of Jesus' sandals as he follows him. He's going to go up with Jesus to Jerusalem, where Jesus will eventually be arrested, tortured, and killed. Bartimaeus was likely in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came upon the 120. He was likely part of the scattering when persecution came in Jerusalem. And he was likely part of that group witnessing to and about Jesus in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why do I think this? Because Mark knew his name. And he mentions his name to encourage the Christians who are reading his gospels. Yes, Bartimaeus was once a poor blind beggar, but no longer. And I don't mean just his external circumstances. No. Now Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, is actually Bar Elohim, son of God. Everything has changed for Bartimaeus. His purpose has changed. He's now blessed to be able to bless others. His identity has changed. Son of Timaeus, the son of God. His community has changed. Now he belongs to the family of God. He's gone from dark to light, sitting to following. And that can be you and me also. When we put our faith, our trust in Jesus, and we choose to follow him, we have a new identity. We become a child of God. You have a heavenly Father. We get a new purpose. We get a new family. Discipleship is not an easy road, but it's a worthwhile road. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What good is it if you gain all worldly possessions but forfeit your soul?" Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to get off the side of the road. It's time to get unstuck. Henry Blackaby says that you cannot stay where you are and go with God. Let me say that again. You cannot stay where you are and go with God. Let's make the choice Bartimaeus did. Let's follow Jesus on the road to the cross and to the resurrection. That life will involve sacrifice, service, but will also have Jesus. It will have the source of life. Many of us, we've been walking our own paths. We've been pursuing after our own dreams and ambitions, And in doing so, many of us have also gotten stuck, covered by a cloud of anxiety and worry. I want you to know that in life, you are either walking with Jesus, or you're walking away from Jesus, or you're stuck on the side of the road. There are no other options. Jesus is calling, come to me. Come with me. Let's not stay in spiritual blindness. Let's get unstuck. Let's follow Jesus. He is the way. He's the one who heals. He's the one who saves. He's the one who stops and hears our cries. Let's pray. Let's cry out to the Father. Father, we thank you for your amazing love. Thank you that you hear our praise. You stop by the side of the road when we call. And when we ask you to heal us, when we ask you to fill us, when we ask you to give us yourself, you say yes. Lord, help us to put our faith in you, our trust in you. Not that something will happen, but that you are the one that can make things happen. Holy God, won't you come? Holy God, won't you come? Lord, help us to see that you are passing by. Lord, and help us, God, to seize this moment, to seize this opportunity to cry out to you. When there are voices that oppose us, but tell us to be quiet, even voices inside our own minds and heart, Lord, may we cry out all the more. May we cry out all the more to you. Lord, help us, God. We want to follow you, Lord. Help us, God, to die to ourselves, to pick up our cross. Lord, to seek, Lord, you, to seek your grace, to seek, Lord, your peace and your love. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. You know, let's go before the Lord. You know, Jesus, I believe, is here right now. Will you cry out to him right now? Right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come, right? Cry out to him right now. There are voices telling you to be quiet. Can you cry out all the more? Overcome the opposition. Jesus is asking you, what do you want me to do for you? Will you say? Will you say? Let's go before the Lord. Let's cry out to him. Oh, Father. Recognize that we are poor and we are blind, we are broken, God. But I pray, Lord, that you would see us and you hear our cries, God, that we would recognize, God, our need for you, and we recognize that you are the only hope, you're the only one that we can put our trust in, and that we would cry all the more, we would cry out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, we know this is a trustworthy saying. Jesus, you came into the world to save sinners, and of whom I am the foremost. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. Help us, God. Lord, we find it so difficult to walk down this road. We find it so difficult to follow you sometimes. Help us, Jesus, in your grace and in your mercy. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Can we go actually prepare our hearts for a time of offering? If you could take out your connection card or that form on your phone or on your laptop. And if you go to the section that says next steps, let's bring obedience as an offering to our Jesus today. The Bible says that, you know, it's not sacrifice that necessarily pleases God. It's not, you know, monetary donation. It's really just, you know, a heart of obedience. It's a heart that's willing to sacrifice for Jesus. And so if there's anything the Lord is asking of you, let's put that as a next step there and submit that as an offering of our hearts, along with, of course, any financial offerings that you prepared to bring before the Lord today. You know, today, maybe for some of you, you are hearing the cry of or the call of Jesus. And you've been stuck on the side of the road. Perhaps today is the day that you reach out and you cry out to him. You say, Jesus, I want you to heal me. Jesus, I need you to save me. I need to be with you. And our compassionate, merciful Jesus, the Son of God, will hear your cry. He'll come and he will make his home with you. The word actually says, Bible says that Jesus has already been knocking on your heart and he keeps knocking. Would you let him in? And will you then follow him? Will you follow him? I'm not promising that this life of following Jesus will be easy. Your problems aren't all going to go away because you follow Jesus. But now you'll have Jesus, the Son of God, walking with you and strengthening you and equipping you as your friend, as the lover of your soul, as the Lord of the whole universe, sovereign, majestic King, walking with you. Today might be the day that you can make that decision, and all the angels in heaven will be celebrating with the one who's celebrating the hardest, Jesus. Because one of his lost ones has found his way home. Let's pray. Father, before I do that, if you have any prayer requests, please write them down in the connection card, and the staff and I will be praying for you this week. With that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your incredible love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you that you invite us on a journey, Lord, not just of hardship, but a journey with you, a journey of following you, of being with you. And you promise to be with us to the very end. Lord, what an amazing thing that is. Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice more clearly. We would see your directions and your footsteps more clearly. We would see, Lord, at least the next step that we're supposed to take. Lord, help us, God, to trust in you. We put our hope in you, Jesus. In you, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I close, I do want to invite you to come into our Zoom room and let's spend some time together and pray. Amen. Come into the Zoom room and let's pray together as a community and lift up your voice so that, you know, Jesus will hear you, but so that we can be encouraged by you as well. For those of you who are struggling and in need, especially financial need, please know that we do have a benevolence fund, and if there's any way that we can be helping you in these difficult times, please let us know. You can write that in the connection card as well. God bless, and I'll see you in the prayer room.